no formal protection for Palestinians.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is CJ Fritz, Crystal Lee Alinsky, Jasmine Kobanoglu, Summer Barraza, and Emmett White. The producer is Kyle Qureshi. Our engineer is David Kesters. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 o'clock, Sojourner Truth Radio discusses the Supreme Court's decision to uphold Donald Trump's Muslim ban with the Arab American Institute and the Council on American-Islamic Relations. At 9 on Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell welcomes David Korn and Michael Isikoff to talk about their new book, Russian Roulette, the inside story of Putin's war on America and the election of Donald Trump. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia will feature headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, author Nancy Rummelman talks about her new book, To the Bridge, A True Story of Motherhood and Murder. And at 11:30, the film show welcomes back Oregon State University professor Elliot Levine to preview his new course at Cinema 21 on classic 1950s sci-fi and Cold War politics. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by members and their support. If you would like to become a member, you can do it right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Hello and welcome to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what's going on in and around KBOO. I'm very happy to be joined this evening by Christopher Francisco, who is a KBOO volunteer and reporter. And Christopher is currently in North Dakota because he was arrested as he was reporting for KBOO at Standing Rock last year. And he is back there for his court date. Hi, Christopher. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello.
So, Chris, can you explain what happened? Why were you arrested, and when are you going to court?
Okay. I was arrested on February 23rd at Osheti Oyate camp in February 23rd, 2017. And I got court date on Thursday at 9 a.m., so I got a couple of lawyers that's working with me, pro bono lawyers. They're from the legal collective team for Standing Rock, people that were arrested. So there's this whole week now, it's pretty crazy this week. All kinds of water protectors are going to trial. And also, Red Fawn was supposed to go to trial on the 26th, I think it was, and the judge got sick all of a sudden, so they postponed her trial too. And then not my President Trump is going to be at Fargo, North Dakota. So
do you know why he is there?
I'm not too sure. I think he's you know how they are, they scratch each other's back. So I think he's going over there for the governor, support the governor.
Mm-hmm.
All those conservatives and Republicans. So he's going to be over there in North Dakota. And from what I heard from the people, they said, don't get a juror. If you get a juror, they're going to take you, you know, you're going to be found guilty.
Hmm.
So it's better just to do let the judge decide. So the people are pretty much not across the board. They're probably not all like that, but, you know, most of them. So it's a kind of conservative state here in North Dakota.
Right. So can you remind the listener as to why was Standing Rock and how the whole thing ended? Because you were there in February 2011 and 2017 when you were arrested. You were there whenever they shut down the camp.
Well, I came out to Standing Rock because my relatives here were fighting for clean water. And so I came out to Standing Rock in September, looked around and heard some elders talking about the winter. It gets really cold, so I went back to Portland and networked and found a networked with a, well, it was created, a group was created called Shelter for the Storm. So there were a bunch of people from Oregon, Southern Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and we built a couple of tiny houses out there, and that's where I was staying at. You know, I had solar energy, and it's a small tiny house, a wood stove, so we, you know, charged up all our equipment off of that solar energy, and it was built with solar energy. And the reason why we did that was because we're trying to kind of set in as an example that, you know, we can work with things without oil, using so much oil. We didn't have to use a generator. You know, we used the solar energy to heat up the batteries on the drill. And so I stayed out there during the winter time. You know, the November, we got shot up by bean bags and rubber bullets.
You got hit.
Yeah, they got me. And this other young lady, Sophia, I forgot her last name. She was from New York City. They almost blew her arm off. And then they shot my bro, Marcus Mitchell, in the eye. And what was her name? Susie. They shot her in the eye, too. So a lot of people were injured. Like, one guy got his head almost cracked open by those bullets. He had to get a lot of stitches on his head. And, you know, just the water canyons, you know, that they shot at us, and was, you know, people got really sick from that. And I think I started getting sick from that point on.
Right.
And had to come back to Portland. And then as soon as I came back to Portland, I got shot J-20 down Portland, Oregon. They shot me again down there. And so it was that time, you know, when Trump, J-20 was Trump's inauguration day. And Portland, Oregon, downtown street was like, you know, was happening down there. And so I came back to, they made another call out for camp cleanup. So I came back to Oshete Oyate, was the Cohen, but then they changed it to Oshete Oyate, the people's camp. And so we removed all those tiny houses that we had there, that we built there. And we got them out. We donated them to natives that need those tiny houses. And so that we got February 22nd. And the evacuation date was the 22nd at 2. Everybody had to be out. So they came in. And then the next day, people were still cleaning up, you know. And the Army Corps of Engineers, they came up, and we talked to them, and they said that they weren't They were just there just to clean up. And so we figured, oh, okay, they gave us, you know, more time to clean up. So people started cleaning again, and then all of a sudden, you know, I was down there. I'd even had breakfast, man. I was getting ready to eat, and this kid came inside the seventh generation kitchen. Said, they're coming, they're coming. So I ran out there and looked out, and there they were, you know, like straight out of Afghanistan or Iraq or something. And he started moving in and, you know, started searching teepee to teepee, tents to tents, securing the place, and then he kept pushing us back. And we just kept walking back, you know, just keep moving back away from them. And then Eric, a friend of mine, Eric, he was at the main fire. He had some sage and in his hand and a feather in his hand. He was just smudging himself down. He's praying away, and then the National Guard came up on him. I thought they were going to shoot him. They pointed a gun at him, the assault rifle. And of the, was it I think a couple of days before that, we're asking that Army Corps of Engineer, are you guys going to come and with live ammunition and your assault rifles? And they wouldn't give us a really direct answer as yes or no. So the whole camp was kind of like scared. They're fearing. And I was fearing for them. You know, I wasn't going to plan to get arrested, but just seeing, hearing and all those people pleading, you know, like one guy was saying, you mean to tell me you're going to come with live rounds to shoot at me? And, you know, he was really freaked out. So or seeing all that stuff and then hearing from the Army Corps of Engineers they're not coming, you know, and then all of a sudden they come when they said they weren't going to come, you know, I just kind of created this environment of fear. So people were just kind of scared, and we're all just moving back, and we didn't not sure if they're going to shoot people, and because they had live ammo.
And you were filming all that.
Yeah, I was filming Facebook Live, all my video, you know. I mean, you can't lie about that. You know, the whole world was watching on Facebook Live. So I was using my camera, and then I just filmed that whole thing, and then I saw Eric, you know, down there, and they were pointing assault rifles at him. So I had to go back down there to make sure, you know, because, if you know, when you're a media person, that's, if you want to, you could do that, you know, go back and film and make sure everybody's safe, our people is safe, because you don't know what's going on these days. The cops are just shooting black people,
right,
for the hell of it, it's almost, it seems like, you know, so you never know what's going on. That was that kind of a fear at camp at that day, and we had to really take care of each other. That's over the winter, we learned how to take care of each other. We learned how to have compassion for each other as a camp, as human beings that we're supposed to be. So we learned that because we suffered through the hardship, and we fed everybody and made sure people were warm, and, you know, we took care of each other. And so we had to stay the last day of camp. Everybody had to stay back and make sure everybody was okay. And that's what I did. I was along with everybody else.
So
I had compassion.
So tomorrow is your court date. What could happen to you?
Well, it's a trial, so if I'm found guilty, I could go to jail for 1 year for a misdemeanor. $2,000 fine or something like that, he was saying.
Right, but you are pleading not guilty because you are press and you are documenting.
Yeah, I had my press pass on my, hanging down from my neck when they arrested me. And so, you know, I was working, shooting video and audio for you guys for KBOO Radio, you know, because that's what we do. You know, we go around doing stuff like that. And, you know, KBOO Radio supports me, you know, with what I do. So we try to get the word out, you know. That's
right.
Basically why I was there as a journalist, is get the word out and make sure the whole world is watching on Facebook. And, you know, they confiscated all my camera equipment, my video camera, my 35mm camera. They took my cell phone. It's been 2 years now, and we talked about it. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about my case, but they just, you know, they don't know what happened to it.
Right.
you know, so.
And Christopher, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with as we wrap up this evening? I really wish you the best for the court date tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say, Toi Nata Mini Wachoni, water's life. Doesn't matter what color you are, you're going to need water. Not even us, but the plants, the birds, the fish, you know, the four-legged, you know, the planet needs water. You know, trees need water. We all need water, clean water. Our vegetables need water. And Dene, you know, we say Toi Nata water's life. We know we got to have it, you know. It's all I can leave.
Thank you so much, Christopher, for all the reporting that you do and for being on the show this evening. And we'll get an update to our listeners as soon as we find out what happens to you.
All right. I'll give an update sometimes.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Together with you, we gonna make some history.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for your monthly dose of youth production.
KBOO Community Radio cordially invites you to the Women of KBOO Celebration and Open House on Friday, June 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. It's here at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Join us for the open house and an evening of on-air programming hosted by Barbara Bernstein and featuring Carol Major, Victoria Stapiello, and Maureen Key. We're celebrating the contribution of women volunteers.